ask that you remain standing if you're able for our sermon text, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Revelation 3, 1 through 6, and you can find that on page 1205 in your pew Bible. And there the word of God says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. I have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen. You may be seated. And I ask now that you pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for revealing to us your word and revealing us to us the way of salvation through your Son, Jesus. And so thank you for this word to encourage us to remember and to hold fast and to repent. And so, Lord, I pray that we would take these words to heart, that your Spirit would teach us, and that we would live lives of repentance and faith before you. Thank you, Lord, and bless this time as we consider your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sermon title this morning is, "Whatever Happened to Repentance?" Whatever happened to repentance? And I don't know if you know, repentance has fallen on hard times. Even among church folk, you can often hear people saying that repentance is not necessary for salvation, or that repentance is not necessary once you become a believer. And I'm here to remind us this morning that repentance is for Christians every day. And our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, when he said repent, he willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. Now, that's not because I say it. That's actually quoting Martin Luther, the reformer. The first of the 95 theses is that the whole life of believers should be repentance. And so repentance is an ongoing thing for the believer. Repentance is actually, repent is the first word of the gospel, where Jesus said in Mark 1:15, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So repentance is the first word of the gospel, but it's also the last word of the gospel. 5 out of 7 of the churches in the book of Revelation are told to repent. And we heard one of them, just as I read earlier, the church at Sardis, also told to repent. So a valid question we could, in a friendly way, ask one another this morning is, what are you repenting of today? I know of a pastor who used to ask that question. What are you repenting of today? And it's a valid question. And one thing that I'm repenting of, so I'll put myself on the spot, I'm repenting of not giving thanks in all things as I ought. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So I want to do a better job of giving thanks always. And so you have permission to hold me to it. And the question is, if we're not repenting, why are we coming to church? Why are we reading the Bible? Why do we do what we do if we're already, we don't need to change? If we're good as we are, why listen to any new or further teaching from the Lord if we don't need to change and to repent? So the question is, what is repentance? Repentance is a gracious and necessary work of the Holy Spirit. We know and believe as Christians that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that God demonstrates his own love toward us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's something that is called redemption accomplished. It was accomplished at the cross. And so Jesus said, it is finished, paid in full, it's done. But it's not just that it's accomplished, it needs to be applied. So redemption is accomplished and redemption needs to be applied. And redemption is applied to us by the Holy Spirit. And part of the application is repentance. Repentance essentially consists in turning from sin toward God. Turn from sin and toward God. And repentance implies faith, and faith implies repentance, because how can you repent without faith? You have to believe that God will bless your repentance. So repentance implies faith, but then faith also implies repentance, because when you put faith in God, you have to stop putting faith in something else and begin and continue putting faith in God. So faith is a whole-souled movement of self-commitment to Christ for salvation from sin and its consequences. So even faith is a movement toward God, away from sin. John Murray also says, it is impossible to disentangle faith and repentance. Saving faith is permeated with repentance, and repentance is permeated with faith. Amen. Now, in our passage, John the Evangelist very pointedly tells us, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. And so the main point that we want to consider this morning is this, that God calls us as his people to continual repentance. God calls us to continual repentance. But how do we repent? Well, according to our passage, we need to remember, we need to wake up, and we need to repent. Let's look at the first, remember. Remember what? Well, according to Revelation 3, it's remember how you received and heard. Now at the beginning, the church at Sardis came to life. It was a church that was around Ephesus. And if you remember from Acts chapter 19, Paul spent 2 years in Ephesus preaching and teaching the gospel at the Hall of Tyrannus. And because they were kicked out of the synagogue, so they went to a rented hall, and Paul preached there for 2 years, and it says that the gospel went out to the whole area. And part of that whole area was Sardis. And they became spiritually alive and awake in Christ. They had the name to go with it. You heard of Sardis? They're amazing. They're on fire. They love the Lord. And so they had the name of life and the evidence of it. But what happened? By the time John writes to Sardis, they're dead and they need to be revived. And so they needed to remember how they received and heard. They needed to be woken up. What about us? Are we awake and alive, or do we just have a name that we're alive? Let's remember what we received and heard. What was it like when you first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember reading the Bible and coming to church then? Couldn't get enough of it. Well, we need to remember how we received and go back to that. So remember how you received and heard, and then hold fast and wake up. What does it say? It says in verse 2, be watchful or wake up and strengthen the things that remain and are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. What a thing to be called to wake up. Are we awake? We need to be awake and alive to the Word of God, and that every day. And he not only tells them once, he tells them twice. He says in verse 3, the second part of it, he says, if you will not wake up, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Now, it's good to have a little bit of history of Sardis. Sardis was up on a hill, and it was well guarded except for one point. And that point needed to be watched closely against surprise attacks. And not once, but twice in the history of Sardis, it was attacked by surprise because the guards were asleep. And so what a good illustration for us. We need to be awake and not asleep and not be taken by surprise. Because when will the Lord return? We don't know. Nobody knows the day or the hour, so don't try to figure it out, because nobody knows the day or the hour. But we need to be ready at any time, because he could come at any time. Amen? And so we need to hold fast and wake up. We also need to repent. That is, we need to have a change of mind. And that's really what the Greek word, if you translate the Greek word metanoia, means a change of mind, but really it means a change of heart, mind, and will, because all of that makes up our mind. And we need to go from liking sin and its results to hating it, that is, agreeing with God, to hate sin and to love Him instead. We need to bear the good fruit of repentance. And we know this because again and again, Jesus teaches us this. Matthew 7 and verse 2, Jesus says, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, there's a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye," i.e. repent, "and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." See, we can't be content to say, well, nobody's perfect, everybody's got a plank in their eye, and then walk around with planks. No, we need to understand, yes, there's a plank, but I need to remove it. First, remove the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We ought to be able to help one another in humility as after we've removed the plank from our own eye. We can have humility to say, oh yeah, I've had struggles too. Yeah, I can help you with that speck. And so the idea there is, there should be repentance. And repentance is part and parcel of the Christian life. And so, beloved, let me encourage you that God calls us all to continual repentance. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you did not leave us in our sin, but you sent to us a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told us to repent and believe the gospel. And so, Lord, give us grace now to repent, that is, turn away from our sin and turn toward you in faith, and lay hold of Jesus alone as the one who saves us from our sin. And so, Lord, I pray that if there is any here who has not yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior, that this morning they would make that decision to trust Christ alone, and not their own works, but only the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus in our place on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for pouring out your blood to wash away our sins. And thank you that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and you are righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And part of that cleansing is through repentance. And so, Lord, give us grace to repent and believe and be saved. And give us grace for those who have been walking with the Lord for a while. Give us grace to continue to believe and to continue to repent, and become more and more like your Son, Jesus. For your honor, for your glory, for your name's sake, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.